All gloriously assembled devotees. All gloriously assembled devotees. All gloriously assembled devotees. All glorious to Shri Guru and Gauranga. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasnaya Padme Srimati Bhakti Vananta Swami Namami Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravadi Pacharani Vishesha Shinyavadi Vashyata Deja. So we'll continue reading about Lord Ramchandra's pastimes, and we're going to talk about something that's a little heart-wrenching today. Oh my God. So it's the ninth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. And tomorrow is the commemoration of the disappearance day of Srivas Thakur. Yeah. So we'll be speaking about him tomorrow. It's also the day when a Rakshasa took sannyas. It's interesting, a Rakshasa taking sannyas. We've heard of that before. But anyway, in 1978, oh my God, and he got a trident. You know, Rakshasa, they have Lord Shiva's trident. Trishura. Okay, so maybe we'll have a little celebration. Just raw food.
Maybe some quinoa.
Maybe some quinoa, quinoa cake or something. Okay, so let's read from Srimad Bhagavatam today. Ninth canto, 10th chapter, text 30. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Okay, so I'll just read the Sanskrit, and there's no purport to this particular text, but I thought we should talk about it. Atato Dadarcha Bhagavan Shokavani Kashame Shamam Swaviraha Vyadim Shimshapamulam Ashritam. So, please repeat. Tataha.
Kata.
Thereafter.
Thereafter.
Dadarsha.
Dadarsha.
Saw.
Saw.
Bhagavan.
Bhagavan.
The Supreme Personality of Godhead.
The Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Ashoka Vanitak Ashrame.
Ashoka Vanitak Ashrame.
In a small cottage.
In a small cottage.
In the forest of Ashoka trees.
In the forest of Ashoka trees.
Shamam.
Shamam.
Very lean and thin.
Very lean and thin.
A swabaraha.
Swabaraha.
Vyadim.
Vyadim.
Suffering from the disease of separation.
Suffering from the disease of separation.
From Lord Ramachandra.
From Lord Ramachandra.
Shimshapa.
Shimshapa.
Of the tree known as Shimshapa.
Of the tree known as Shimshapa.
Mulam.
Mulam.
The root.
The root.
Ashritam.
Ashritam.
Taken shelter of.
Taking shelter of.
It's a translation. Thereafter, Lord Ramachandra found Sita Devi sitting in a small cottage beneath the tree named Shimshapa in the forest of Ashoka trees. She was lean and thin, being aggrieved because of separation from him. So there's no purport. So, Om Ganatu Dandasha Gadanjana Shilakaya Chakshurud Meditam Yena Tasmai Shigurve Namaha. So there's a lot more to the story that's not told in the Bhagavatam, that's in the Ramayana, the Valmiki Ramayana, and also the other Ramayana. So it's not as simple as is portrayed in the Bhagavatam, although it's accurate. The Bhagavatam is accurate. Let's talk about Lord Chaitanya first. When Lord Chaitanya was in South India, he went to a Brahmin's house for prasadam. And the Brahman said, I have not yet prepared the prasadam, because the Brahman was lamenting that Sita Devi had been taken by Ravana. And then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu assured him that Sita Devi could never be touched by Ravana, because had Ravana touched Sita Devi, he would have self-immolated. That means he would have had an instant cremation without any fire. You know, he would have created his own fire. So he assured him, and then the Brahman quickly prepared, and Lord Chaitanya ate a late lunch at that particular point. So later on, when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in South India, he came across a copy of what's called the Karma Purana. And in the Karma Purana, there's a description of how Sita Devi, the real Sita Devi, was taken away by Agni before the kidnapping occurred. And a Maya Sita was put in her place. Maya Sita means like a reflection of Sita, who was actually Bhumi. There's actually a lot of interesting things in this story. So Bhumi, the earth goddess, who is an expansion of Sita Devi. Okay, so Bhumi, or Bhu Devi as they say, she was actually in Ravana's kingdom the whole time. And while she was in Ravana's kingdom the whole time, she was playing the part of Sita Devi. And playing the part of Sita Devi meant that she was continually chanting what? The name of Ram. Ram, 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 Ram. And as she was continually chanting the name of Ram, she also had to put off Ravana. You know, there's that famous story, she holds a blade of grass, or kusha grass, and says, if you come near me, you'll die. And Ravana actually had a curse that he would die if he actually forced himself upon any woman, because he had actually forced himself upon Ramba before, and he got cursed by Nalakubra. We told that story the other day. So, anyway, after all that time of chanting Ram, 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 then when Lord Ramchandra captured the city of Lanka, and he asked to see Sita Devi, she was brought to him on a palanquin. And actually, Prabhupada said that in the traditional Vedic culture, all the ladies would be carried on, the high-class ladies would be carried on palanquins. They would never see, people would never see them. Always be, we should do that here. Yeah. All you men, you're strong enough, right? Well, it takes four. Four, at least four men to carry. And they go shopping to the supermarket. You know. That would be nice, wouldn't it? No lady drivers. That's a driver. It's like I remember when I was a brahmachari, whenever there was a lady driving a car, then, you know, the actual agitated brahma said, what's a lady driving a car for? They should be in the kitchen. So anyway, she was carried in a palanquin, and as she got close to where Lord Ramchandra, remember this is the Maya Sita, who looked like Sita Devi, when she got close to where Lord Ramchandra was, the monkeys and the bears and everybody wanted to see her, as well as the Rakshasas, because, you know, this whole war was fought for her sake. And so Lord Ramchandra said, you know, get out of your palanquin, your own chastity will protect you. And she walked to see Lord Ram. And Lord Ram said something very heavy at that point. He said, now that I've freed you, you know, I had to do my duty and free you, you can go wherever you want, lady. You know, of course, we understand it wasn't the real Sita Devi. But no one else understood except for Ram. Even Lakshman didn't understand. And then Ram said to Sita Devi, Ram said to Lakshman, prepare a fire for her to enter. Everyone was going, oh my God, this guy is cruel as anything. So what happened is Lakshman prepared a fire. Actually, Lakshman, after all these episodes, really, really had many objections to being Lord Ramchandra's younger brother. And we know in the future he always appeared as the Lord's older brother, like Balaram and Lord Nityananda, like that. So anyway, so he makes the fire, the Maya Sita enters, and the real Sita comes out. So also what happens is the Maya Sita says, you know, I know I'm Maya Sita, but I love you too, so marry me. You know, so in those days, the women can also propose. Sounds like tradition. I mean, in my family, my father got down on his hands and knees to propose. What a stupid thing, you know. He's just showing his position for the rest of his life. So... In those days, sometimes the women propose. Can anyone think of another example? Subhadra, another example?
Rukmini.
She was the one who sent the letter, proposal letter, to Lord Krishna, right? So anyway, so the Maya Sita, she's proposing, you know, I want to marry you to it. And Lord Ramchandra says, there's a problem. Ekaputni Vrata. I've taken a vow only to have one wife in this life, you know, which is a pretty good idea. Because we see in the Vedic literatures, in many cases where people have more than one wife, there's problems. You know, people that are so romantic, we become a Mormon. But it's a problem. Like you see in the case of Dasarath, you have Kaikeyi, creates all this trouble, and so many other, Chitraketu, he tried with, does anyone remember how many wives?
10,000.
10 million! That's how many times the population of Slovenia.
Five
times? Imagine you come to Slovenia, every person in Slovenia is your wife. Let me get COVID. So anyway, so 10 million, and of course they killed his poor kid, Harshashoka, you know, 9,999,999 of them were envious. That's a problem, you know. It's a bad ratio, 1 to 9,999,999. So, anyway, so Lord Brahma just said, you know, one life. And she basically, I think I should tell this whole story, how she marries him. Yeah, that's an interesting story, if I can tell it real quickly. So, all right, so she goes along with that, and Lord Ramchandra takes Sita Devi away. Of course, later on, this is a story within a story. Later on, the Lord Vishnu is kicked in the chest by Brigamuni. And when he's kicked in the chest by Brigamuni, Lakshmi gets really upset, and she doesn't file for divorce, but she just can't stand it, so she just goes away, and Lord Vishnu becomes a poor man, comes down to the earth, you know, tell the story really quickly, comes down to the earth looking for his wife. He's lonely. You know, this is a story which is a little bit different than Lord Ramchandra's story, which Sita separated from Ram. In this case, Ram in the form of Lord Vishnu is separated from Lakshmi. And, you know, he's penniless without Lakshmi. Actually, Prabhupada said that when you have a husband and wife and they never argue, there'll always be enough money. Pretty good, isn't it? And if they argue, Lakshmi goes away. No arguing. Just listen to whatever she tells you. Then you'll get a good position in the university. If you're not successful, you know why it is. So Lord Vishnu is penniless. You know, he's wandering around. He comes down to the earth to try to find Lakshmi, because I guess that's where Lakshmi is at the point. Goes around. To make a long story short, falls in love with a very rich girl. Of course, you can't have a poor man fall in love with a very rich girl. It doesn't work, at least in Indian culture. In Western culture, you have all these stories, you know, the prince and the frog or something like that. I don't remember the story. She kisses the frog and he becomes a prince or something like that. So in the Western world, you have all these, like, interesting marriages, you know, gender stuff and everything. So anyway, he's looking. So he wants to marry this girl, but he doesn't have any money. So basically he goes and, who is Mayasita? Remember Mayasita? And actually the girl, this is an interesting story of the Puranas. The girl's mother is actually an expansion of Yashoda Devi. Interesting. Anyway, this is a whole story, oh my God. Not the girl's mother. Let's go back a little bit. He gets adopted by a lady who is the expansion of Yashoda Devi. Okay. Anyway, so the girl is in love with him. He's in love with her. And so he has to go and borrow a whole bunch of money from Kubera, the treasurer of the demigods. And then he has to borrow some land from another incarnation of his, Varaha Dev. And so then he goes back and gets married to her. They have a wonderful Vivaha marriage. They get married. They're just so happy. You know, in India, we get married, you have all these flowers over your head. And, you know, it's just like riding on a horse. King for a day, slave for a lifetime. That's probably it. And this thing else class. Anyway, because tomorrow's the day I took something else. Anyway, so he's riding on a horse. And they get married, and they're going for their honeymoon, or as they say in Spanish, luna de miel. That means a moon of honey. I don't know why it's called honeymoon. Anyone knows? What's the etymology of it?
I don't know. It's kind of weird, actually.
But moons are very romantic. Just like the other day, it was more of a full moon, and now it's really small. So I was thinking, what happened to our moon? So he's on his honeymoon, goes ready to go on his honeymoon. Who does he run into but the real Lakshmi? And then the girls start arguing with each other. He's mine. What do you do with my husband? I just got married to him. It's my husband. And Lord Vishnu is just like, I got to get out of here. So he turns himself into a deity. And the girls look and they turn themselves into deities too. And that's the origin of the Balaji deity. And Balaji is surrounded by his two consorts, Sri and Boo. Sri is Lakshmi, who is Boo Devi. So anyway, let's get back to the Sita Devi story. So Sita Devi flies back with Lord Ram to Ayodhya on the Pushpaka. Pushpaka means like the flower airplane. And they're received nicely. After some time, there's some controversy in the kingdom of Ayodhya because a washerman is criticizing, not only washerman, but many people are criticizing Lord Ram for accepting his wife back after she's been with him, you know, in another man's house for a whole year. You know, they're a little fanatic in those days. It's crazy. I mean, there's the story. The washerman who was actually started the whole criticism didn't accept his wife back because she went to see her mother and she had to cross the river to come back to see him the next. But there was no boatman to take her across, so she had to either sleep on the bank of the river or near the boatman's house. And the guy just didn't trust his wife's chastity. So, gives it a low trust culture at that particular time. Anyway. But he was a lower class man, a washerman. And so Lord Ramchandra hears about this. Lord Ramchandra puts on the guise of an ordinary man just to see what's happening in his kingdom. People are criticizing him. He's thinking, I'm not going to be able to carry out the duties of being a king. He goes into a funk. Anyway, you don't know what that means. I mean, he has this conflict in his mind. What am I going to do? I love Sita Devi. But I have to take care of the kingdom, and all these people I have to see, like my children. Like Prabhupada said, that if someone is a king, one cannot discriminate between his own children or his own family and the other citizens, because they're all praja. In fact, Prabhupada said praja means even the animals, those who were born in the kingdom. So Lord Ramchandra is thinking, what can I do, what can I do? And then he decides, well, I got to send Sita Devi away. This is really the bad part of the story. Anyway, so he sends Sita Devi. He tells Lakshman, take Sita Devi into the forest and drop her off. And Lakshman, again, is really upset with his brother, you know. What? How can you do that? And she's pregnant, too. You know, there's really heavy stuff going on here. So he takes her, drops her off in the forest, and Lakshman just drops to the ground. He's just crying. And she is so, let's say, devoted to Ram. She says, if this is what Ram wants, if this is good for the kingdom, and then she accepts. And Lakshman is actually more devastated, basically, than she is. He just can't stand it. And of course, that's why he doesn't want to become the younger brother anymore of Lord Ram. You know, he's had enough with his brother. But there's, you know, the social etiquette. You gotta follow your older brother. Krishna didn't believe in that philosophy. Yeah, when his older brother wanted to marry Subhadra Duryodhana, Krishna said, hell with that, you know. I'm marrying to Arjuna. And so Krishna, but he didn't directly oppose his older brother. So this is actually an important political fact, strategy, that you don't do a direct opposition to your authority. You figure an end run around. You understand? Mm-hmm. Little hint for those of you who have some problems with authority and Krishna consciousness. You do. So, Krishna had some problems with his brother, who was his authority. So he didn't want to say to his brother, I'm not listening to you. He just said to Arjuna, here's my chariot. Please take my chariot. And Arjuna, he had snuck Arjuna into his kingdom of Dwarka. Arjuna was dressed as a sannyasi at that particular point, or as a renunciate, because he was undergoing some austerity because he had intruded on Draupadi and Yudhisthira. There's another story about that. So anyway, Krishna had Arjuna sitting down, there's a picture in the original Krishna book, sitting down at the dinner table with the whole family, including Subhadra and Balaram, and Arjuna is making eyes at Subhadra while Balaram is completely unaware of what's happening, even though he's God. So even God misses a few clues. Imagine, you know, you're sitting at the table and your sister's there and this sannyasi is going, you know, whatever sannyasis do. I don't know what sannyasis do. You know, romantic people do. Nothing to do with a woman. They find Arjuna sannyasi. You know, like Indians go, like, you think they're saying no, but they're saying yes. So Arjuna is doing that, and then he kidnaps Subhadra, and Balaram's really angry. He doesn't even know that it's Krishna's plan. And then Balaram calls for the whole army of Dwarka, the Yadu dynasty, let's go and kill or kidnap or capture Arjuna. And, you know, Krishna's chariot. And Subhadra's also driving the chariot, too. Krishna's so tricky. Because, I'll explain in a second why I'm saying that. Because Krishna goes before Balaram and says, I don't think you should get heated up like this. And then Krishna says, you know, let's find out who was kidnapping who. And Balaram says, what do you mean, who was kidnapping who? And then they ask the question, who's driving the chariot? Oh, Subhadra. So Subhadra's driving the chariot. See, lady drivers. Nazis here, so you have to be careful. Nazis from America. So anyway. So the Balan says, oh, it's your trick again, Krishna. Krishna says, yeah, I apologize. So that, like I said, that's our ISKCON philosophy too. You do something first and get permission later for it. Well, I'll tell you a funny story about that. Everybody knows Shiva Ram Maharaj. Yes. So there's one of our god brothers, Keshava Bharti Maharaj, who wanted to take sannyas. So he gave him sannyas without the GBC's permission. And people were upset, and he was very apologetic. And he said, okay, it's all right, Peter. You don't know that story. Very few people know that story, how he did that. I was there. Not when he gave him sannyas, but I was at the GBC meeting. How could you do this? I'm sorry. Yes, Ram Maharaj did it. He gave him sannyas. Not himself, not his sannyas. He was already sannyas. But he gave Keshava Bharti Maharaj sannyas without the GBC permission. It was actually really interesting to watch the whole thing. He says, I'm sorry, you know, never do it again. So we have to learn all these little tricks. You know, sometimes I have to learn tricks of how to get people recommended for initiation. You know. You know, bribery. You bribe the temple president. He's 100 euros. Anyway, so... Raymond knows about this. You know, so when in Rome, do as the Romans do. So if you're dealing with a political situation, you've got to be political. It's intelligent. Prabhupada was extremely like that. Prabhupada wasn't a Vaishya, but when it came to Indian bargaining, he could bargain the pants off of anybody. And the devotees, they would go to India, and they would hire a pandal or something, and they would think, oh, this is really good price. And Prabhupada said, you're a damn cheap babu. You know, you think everything is cheap, and then Prabhupada would go to the same pandal dealer, renter or whatever, and he would get the price down even half. Or when Prabhupada was in Japan at this printing company, Dynapon, Prabhupada was so expert in politics and bargaining, he had Tamal Krishna Maharaj help him with the bargaining. So Prabhupada played the good cop and Tamal Krishna Maharaj played the bad cop. So you've probably heard the story where he had Tamal Krishna Maharaj give a very, very low price for the printing. And the people were very upset, and then Prabhupada made believe he was correcting Tamal Krishna Maharaj. No, Prabhupada said, I will be the mediator here, basically. And he got a price very low. So devotees have to be daksha, expert in different things. All right. I really got far away from the story. So let's get back to Sita Devi. Okay. So Sita Devi's dropped off in the forest, and she goes to the ashram of Valmiki Muni, who was previously a dacoit, who, but by chanting Ram, 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 or Mara, 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 which became Ram, 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 he became the great Valmiki Muni. So she's in the forest in the ashram, and she's pregnant, and Ram is also feeling separation from her, and he actually, to perform sacrifices, a Brahmin has to have his wife next to him, so he has to have a deity of Sita Devi put next to him. And he's performing sacrifices, and she's all morose. And then after their children are born, love and gooch, basically, very shortly in the story, he agrees to let her come back if she can vow that she's always been chaste, that she's like, this is too much, you know, this guy is asking too much, you know, he doesn't trust me. And she says, Mother Goddess, you know, Earth Goddess, if I've ever, never thought of anyone other than Ram, please let the Earth open up and take me away from this horrible place. And so the Earth opens up, Sita Devi enters the Earth, right in front of Ram. And Ram is real upset, he's getting ready to destroy the whole Earth, and feeling great separation. So, the point I want to make is this, really it's a heart-wrenching story, this separation. But in the spiritual platform, this Varaha, which is mentioned here in this verse, brings one closer spiritually to the person if it's a spiritual relationship, not material relationship. Material relationship, as we've often mentioned before, if you're feeling separation from them, it's not that you're actually with the person. Or like we have, let's say, a deity of Prabhupada or a picture of Lord Nrsimhadev, they're present in that picture. But materially, it's not like if you have a picture of your Aunt Sally or whatever. And you look at the picture, she's not in her picture, unless she's a Hare Krishna devotee to a certain extent. And even more heart-wrenching is that even when we're in the physical presence of someone, we're not with them. We may be holding their hands, but this is bodies. Sorry, sannyas class. But devotees, when they have this spiritual connection, when they're connected to Krishna, then everything becomes connected. Everything becomes connected because it's the central point. As the, what's that statement? Things fall apart where the center will not hold. So when everything, if people are on the spiritual platform, devotees are always together. And sometimes I'll meet one of my godbrothers who I haven't seen for like 30 years or something, and it's like we were never separated because we've been serving Krishna for that amount of time. So this is a really nice thing. So anyway, Sita Devi and Ram were never separated in actuality. Just like Hanuman, when he tore open his chest, who was there but Sita and Ram? I'm not sure if Lakshman was there. No, just Sita and Ram. I'm sure he loved Lakshman too. But it's interesting, two of the other monkeys had arguments with Lakshman. Does anyone know who they were?
Ravita was one of them.
Yeah, who's the other one? It's a test.
Bali.
No, Mainda.
No.
Mainda.
Oh.
Mainda and Vidvita, and later on they were killed by Balaram in the form, right, by Balaram. They were had an argument with, I'm sorry, an argument with Balaram, but with Lakshman. They actually offended Lakshman. So that separation is the mood that we need to be developing in relationship with the devotees and with Krishna and with, and when we chant, you know, Yugayitam Nimishena Chakshushal Prabhashayitam Shunyayitam Jagatsarvam Govinda Vidahename. Just like, if you really want to chant intense japa, it has to be intense longing. That separation, isn't it? Lolium? Intense longing, intense separation. And Lord Ram and Sita are showing that. And incidentally, we also see a similar manifestation of the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya, don't we? Lord Chaitanya left home. He was 24 and his wife was, what?
16.
Oh my God, what a cruel. He's supposed to be the most munificent? Is that so munificent? What do you think? But there was never any, this is a spiritual relationship. If we look at it through our materialized Atmavat Manyate Jagat, and we see one thing. Like when I first heard about Sita being separated from Ram, or Ram sending Sita away, I was like, you know, phew, what kind of God is he? But then when you look at it on a deeper level, you actually see that it brings them closer together. It's a more intense relationship at that point. And, of course, Krishna leaving Vrindavan when the gopis were how old? Even younger than 16. Some of them were younger than 16. And Krishna just left the gopis to lament for, like, what, 125 years or something like that. And then you have this whole ceremony of Rath Yatra, which is a celebration of, or commemoration, of separation. So this separation, of the mood of separation, is very much an integral part of our Gaudiya Vaishnavism. And it, if we learn about it, and we inculcate this mood in our hearts, and then our chanting can become much more focused, intense, and pure. So, anyway, any questions or comments? I actually told a lot of stories in a short amount of time. Questions, comments, arguments? Yes?
You were speaking about Krishna as a spy in our heart.
Yeah, Krishna is a spy. Yeah, the other day I mentioned.
So, when we hear a word spy, I get
paranoid.
Or scared, you know?
Yeah.
And how can we transform this, you know, to actually feel that Krishna wants to help us, you know, that we don't get, you know, oh, somebody's nagging again in my heart, you know, he wants something.
Well,
that we accepted him as a friend.
Well, it depends on if you see Krishna as the father, it's kind of heavy. Or if you, authority. This can be love. This word authority. So if you say, my authority is in my heart. Temple president of the GBCs. He's watching everything I do. Yeah. That's why in our temple we put cameras in all the ashrams. I put apps in all the phones, all the computers, even the iPads and things like that. That's actually funny. One time I installed the camera that had a two-way speaking or hearing, so that it was right outside the temple. It was really funny. I was in Europe somewhere, and devotees were walking by, and I said, I'm watching you. I like, you know, playing tricks like that. It's a lot of fun to make people nervous. It's my idea of fun. Practical jokes, you know. I used to do that all the time when I was a kid. When I was a kid, I devised a device that would give it 10,000 volt shock. It was a little box, and I put it on my teacher's desk with a sign, do not touch. So she touched it, and she got a shock. And she said, I know it was you. And I said, didn't you see the sign, don't touch? I still had to see the principal. So, but also I learned to apologize. Like I said, when I speak of expert in apology in this kind. So if you think it's authority, then it's really. But if you think my best friend, Yabokturam Jagatapasam Sarvalokalahesaram Suvadam Sarvabhutanam Ketwamam Shanti Mrityati, Krishna's our well wisher, best friend. Wow. Isn't that nice? You know, he's with me, he loves me. Of course, if you say spy, you know, it's really heavy. For some people, I don't mind. I don't mind if Krishna's watching me all day long because he's my buddy. It's nice he watches me. He cares. He loves me. So it's a matter of how you phrase it. And it's also a matter of whether you're a rascal or not. you got something, you want to hide something, then it really is bad. I have nothing to hide. That's why I became so vulnerable, because I understand Krishna's watching, so who the hell cares what other people think? what can I say? Krishna's watching. And then another thing is, not only is Krishna watching, but my experience is, if you do something rascally, Krishna chastises you. Like, I knew Krishna was watching when I mentioned the other day when I was going twice the speed limit in my car. And Krishna arranged in the heart of the police to pull me over. He told me a lesson. Because I was thinking, I am enjoying. You know, it's a lot of enjoyment that you push the pedal down in the car and the other passengers are... The first time I did it, I didn't get a ticket. First time I did it, I just went tripping. And they said, Maharaj! I said, this is fun! So when I was trying to have illegal fun, Krishna pulled me over, you know. It was Krishna. So Krishna not only is your spy, but he's also the policeman who pulls you over. You can't get away with any damn thing. It's horrible. But he loves you. He's doing this because of, please don't love me so much, Krishna. Would you love him more? You know? That's what I said to my mother when she would chastise me. She said, I'm only doing this because I love you. And I was thinking, I hate to see what it would be if she hated me. So it can get a little nerve-wracking that Krishna's watching you everywhere. But if you think about it, it's love. I have my beloved with me, you know, Krishna, the person who I love. You have a loving propensity. Prabhupada said the reason we're not satisfied, he mentions this in the beginning of the Krishna book, is we have this loving propensity. We want it to go on unlimitedly. He said if you take a light and just shine it in a box, it just, whoop. But you shine it into space, it goes out unlimitedly. So we want our loving propensity to expand unlimitedly. And the only way that'll happen is if our beloved is in our heart. And that's Krishna. So it's not so bad. Don't worry. I worry sometimes. What is Krishna going to do to me now? Yashaham anugrinami. That's especially frightening verse. Isn't it? Yashaham anugrinami hurise tadanam shanai. For those who I especially favor, I won't mention what I do. But Krishna does, because I don't want to scare anybody right now. Their friends and relatives reject them, and they just take shelter of Krishna's names. What do they say? When the going gets tough, the tough get chanted. That should be our response. We should have this automatic response when things are tough. Then we start chanting, not just like get into our emotions and melt into a, you know, a pool of tears or something like that. Just chant. That should be our shelter. Anything, you know, anxiety, fear, happiness, it should all be an impetus to chant and just Krishna, 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 help. Okay, any other questions?
Can I have one more?
Yeah, you can have one more.
It is in connection with Sita Devi. I watched the movie Ramayana, and
yeah.
I remember the scene when Lakshman left her.
In the forest.
And I remember her words. I don't know if it was exactly what is in Valmiki Ramayana.
Yeah.
She said, it's my karma that I could serve my Lord just for this short time.
That's in the movie. In Valmiki Ramayana, she actually... She doesn't use the word karma. She says that, service, out of service, I'm serving my Lord. You know, so that's true. It's her dedication and her... But if I'll make you remind, she doesn't attribute it to karma. It's just her love. I'm just serving to Lord Ram. And they're never separated. It's a really heart-wrenching story. Imagine, you know, your wife is pregnant and you send her away to the forest. You just have her dropped off in the forest. It's an ashram. And the Mahayana temple, you know. You have your brother dropper in front of the temple there. And the devotees open the doors. Who's that? And she doesn't even get a chance to tell people who she is. She's introduced as like a forest lady, like Mondevi or something like that. And then there's another story too. When she's in the ashram, the brahmacharis are really doubting her chastity. Because, you know, here's a pregnant woman and, you know, who's her husband? And they never tell, you know, Valmiki doesn't tell anybody who her husband is. And so there's this whole interesting story about a test that she undergoes while she's in the ashram of Valmiki Muni. There's this lake right next to the ashram called Shivi Sagara, which means, like, I guess a pigeon lake or something like that, right, in Sanskrit. And so what happened, this is a funny story, that this is a really long lake. Once upon a time, there were two pigeons, you know, pigeons, like birds, and a male pigeon, a female pigeon. The female pigeon came back late one day from catching worms or whatever they do. And the male pigeon says, "I don't trust you. I don't trust that you've been chased. Maybe you've been hanging around with another pigeon." And then she says, "You know, pigeons aren't supposed to be chased anyway. You know, whoever heard of this?" And then he says, "Well, we're in the ashram, my dear. You're supposed to be chased." And he said, "Prove your chastity. And the way you can prove it is by flying over this whole sea, ocean, or it was an ocean, it was a lake, without falling in, you know, really long place." And so she starts to fly, and the demigods actually help her fly over the whole thing. So there's the story, it's actually in the Puranas too, where Sita Devi is tested in the same way. She has to enter into the lake without getting wet. Go over the whole lake, and she does that. Interesting story, isn't it? Whew. I mean, it's really horrendous. The brahmacharis were upset that this lady was in the temple. Interesting story. I mean, I got all these stories from the Puranas, because one of my main loves is the Ramayana and the stories about Lord Ram. So I know all these like inside stories about Hanuman and Sugriva. I really love them. Maybe I'll go back to Ayodhya instead of back to Goloka Vrindavan. Love to see. No, I think I'll go back to Goloka Vrindavan.
Have a body in each place.
Have a body in each place. Good. Or I like Lord Ram. Actually, even in Goloka Vrindavan, devotees who are primarily focused on Lord Chaitanya go to the area where Lord Chaitanya is, and devotees are primarily focused on Krishna, who is the same as Lord Chaitanya, obviously. Sri Krishna, Chaitanya, Radha, Krishna, Mahayana. They go to the area of Lake Braj. And the devotees who are have both concentrations in their lives, they actually go to both. And the devotees who are just attached to the rules and regulations for the sake of rules and regulations, they go to Vaikuntha. And the devotees who become spontaneous, not too quickly though. I have to be careful, this is the Balkans. In the Balkans, they become spontaneous without... They're all doing Raghunuga Bhakti, even from the first day they joined the Hare Krishna movement. Isn't it?
Avaduta
Bhakti. Avaduta. Avaduta is like, this is the real hot place of Europe. So one has to come to the point of doing things spontaneously out of one's heart and out of love, not just rules and regulations. But we do follow the rules and regulations. But we follow them spontaneously with a purpose. We understand the purpose behind them. Not just because of the rules and regulations, but because they please Krishna and they help set an example for others. Okay. No other questions? No other questions? Comments? Yes.
You were speaking about imbibing the mood of separation.
Yeah.
Because only when we chant in such mood, we can really chant with intensity.
Yeah.
So if I don't feel any separation, how do I go about developing this mood?
Well, at least separation from pure devotional service. It may not be focused on some individual. Like we know, the price of pure devotional service is volume or intense hankering. So intense hankering means that we are feeling separate. Like if you have something, let's give a material example. Let's say you're really hankering for pizza. That's intense. I want it. I want pizza. But when they bring the pizza in front of you and you start eating, you're not hankering for it anymore. So you should be hankering for something. You know, even if it's not separation from Krishna per se, but separation from pure state of consciousness, separation from other devotees. You know, we can, because separation is necessary to have intense hankering. I don't think you can have intense hankering without separation, can you? Because you have something, you're not hankering for it. And if you're hankering for something, you're feeling separation from it. I think they're very much connected. So volume is required. Like my godbrother Guru Govinda Maharaj said about his temple in Bhubaneswar, he said, I'm opening up a temple for tears or something like that, a crying place. Crying place, you know. So one has to learn to cry for Krishna. Cry. See, and of course you have to learn how to cry. Emotions, you know. One day. Anyway, we have to learn how to cry. So there was another question? Whoops, more questions. Who, what, where?
Ravana, I'm wondering if it was a part of Lila that...
Yeah.
Because Ravana was had some curse that he couldn't touch Sita Devi.
Yeah.
And how come that he can kidnap her?
Well, he could touch her, but he couldn't force himself, couldn't rape her. That was the point. He wanted to force himself upon her. Actually, how Ravana kidnapped Sita Devi is quite interesting, or the Maya Sita is quite interesting. When Ravana came in the guise of a Brahmin to trick Sita Devi, I'm going to use the word Sita Devi, even though it wasn't the real Sita Devi, he grabbed her and he put her on this chariot. It wasn't the Pushpaka Vimana, it was a chariot pulled by mules or donkeys with human heads. Pretty attractive. And he put him on, you know, he had this chariot pulled by donkeys with human heads. And as they started to fly in the air, Jatayu came and attacked them. And Jatayu sort of like chewed off the heads of these carriers. And Jatayu destroyed the chariot. So when Ravana, this is different than the movie, you can't rely on the movie all the time. So when Ravana actually kidnapped Sita Devi, he flew back with her on his own power, Rakshasa power, through the air. Interesting story. Okay, I think we have to end because it's time. I'm feeling intense hankering. For prasadam, right? Feel prasadam, feeling your separation. My stomach is grumbling like 12 years or more. Tears are coming from my eyes like torrents of rain. I'm feeling all vacant. My stomach's feeling all vacant in the absence. Okay, so much for that. So, all right, so we'll see everybody later for empathy. Tomorrow's program, yeah, that's actually interesting. We should discuss that.